wanted you to be directed to the only chapter in Jude, Jude 1.
Sasa ndikutengereni kubuku lija Yuda, Yuda chapter 1, munawerenga.
And I want to read one verse.
Ndende werenga so verse modzi mobwereza.
That is verse 5.
Ine ikala verse 5.
Where it is written, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. My friends, we've been able to come back after some time. And we knew not if we would come back. For we don't know what tomorrow shall bring. But the Lord in His providence has brought us back here. And we have to bring and may bring the word to you again. And then, as the epistle to the Jude says here, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this. And so the letter to Jude is coming, and he's saying, I need to put you in remembrance of something. It is as though he says, I need to remind you of something. Even though you've heard it before. And so I may come to you. And I need to put you also in remembrance of something. I need to remind you of something. Because here in the church, there was a problem. Men crept in unawares into the church. And these men that had crept into the church were men of old ordained to condemnation, as we read in verse 4. What is the problem? It says, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel came. And it was a plain gospel. The gospel was rooted in Christ alone. And when the true gospel of Christ comes to any village in Malawi, if it's the true gospel, then it's rooted in Christ alone. It's to find grace and mercy in Christ alone. And in no nothing else. But I tell you, when the gospel comes to villages who have never heard anything, it might have power. But when the gospel comes to those who have religion, something has to be removed to receive the true gospel. And we're seeing this in Malawi. We have prosperity gospel. We have works-based gospel. And we have this gospel that is full of deceit. Giving honor and glory to man. Prophets, high pastors, bishops who want honor and glory. You see, this is the problem that they are facing here. When he says, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, what was happening was Paul and Peter, they went in and preached the plain gospel of Jesus Christ. That you can be saved and delivered from the wrath to come. By believing in Him, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and putting your trust in Him. But then this religion comes, and it's lasciviousness, which means excess. You know, it's the same thing. When you go to the village bar, when you drink one beer, nothing happens. But you drink 10 beers, and that's excess, and you begin to stagger. And that's the same thing in grace. When you begin to add things to the gospel of Christ, you begin to stagger in grace. Not knowing where you're walking. Not knowing what you're saying. And not knowing what you're doing. Why? Because men come in. They creep into the church and they begin to bring laws and rules in grace. Yeah, they begin to say, you must do this and you must do that. And you must pray for so long. And you must give much money. So that the bishop or the pastor or the prophet may build a house. And this is the truth. And do you know what's so scary? It might be amongst us. It may be amongst us. And I want to put you into remembrance of something. I need to tell you something. That if you leave the only way, truth, and life, Jesus Christ, that you begin to stagger and pray, and you don't know what you're doing anymore. And we have lost one of the elders here. And he is gone. And where will we go? Where shall the church go? Who shall lead the church? Which of the men will stand up to lead the church further? To give healthy teaching. To give biblical teaching. Healthy for the soul. And this is a problem. Because more and more, the young people and the younger people are falling away to the lusts of false religion, leading people away from the truth. And it all comes from licentious excess. Just look around you. Just talk to people. The Seventh-day Adventists, they are full of works. Full of doing. And they creep in. Maybe your husband goes there. And you come here. And it in that false religion creeps in. And they say you have to keep the Sabbath day holy. But we've always preached there is no Sabbath day. Because Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. He is our rest. Bringing the Old Testament back into literal life. But there's a warning. And this warning comes out to you. Because I fear. Where is this church going? I want to put you into remembrance. That I've preached here four or five times that Jesus Christ is your only hope. That He is the life. And that all that come to Him may receive life. Have you received the life in Christ? Is this church flourishing in the life of Christ? Are the fruits producing? Yeah, the tree of life. Does it produce fruits? How is your marriage? How is your relationship in your family? How is the relationship in the church? Is this a village, an example for the villages around? Is there fighting? Anger. Is there evil thoughts? Or has this church been in revival for the last months Have you been preaching Christ and Christ alone? Have you been telling the truth? Has lives been changing in this village? Is Christ exalted in this village? Do you pray to Him and Him alone? Do you expect everything in Him? How is it? How is it going? I can come here. And I can say, how are you? And you will say, good. And you will say, how are you? And I can say, good. It's nice to be back. What has happened? How is things? Good. God is good all the time. But I have a different question for you. How is it with your soul? Is the spirit of love conquering the souls amongst the village? The spirit of hope. Is that the only truth there? And do you have to say, even though some things took place in the last months, we are well because we are well in Christ. I have to put you in remembrance because it says something further in verse 5. He says, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Do you know what this means, church? Friends, listen carefully. Because he's reminding them about Egypt and Israel. You know what happened there? Moses came. Moses came to the elders and said, we must go. God will deliver us and bring us to Canaan. And they were slaves. They had to work hard. They had poverty. Children were dying. And Moses said, God, send me. I'll deliver you.
And the elders, they said,
I don't think it's possible. But the mothers said, yes, we need to go. And they looked to Moses and said, deliver us, rescue us. And the elders said, okay, but we need to. They said to Moses, you need to go to Pharaoh. And you know what happened? For a long time. Every time Moses went to Pharaoh, something else happened. Water was turned into blood. Fleas came. Locusts came. All the plagues of Egypt came. Why? Because God would deliver them out of slavery and deliver them out of bondage. And he used Moses for that. But you know what's terrible? You know what happened? On the Passover night, they got up after the 10th plague. Where all the firstborn of Egypt were slain. And they left. They went out of Egypt. Because Moses took them out. And delivered them out. But I want to tell you something, friends. And I need you to listen carefully. Christ can be preached here.
Yes,
and we can tell you that he can rescue you. And you may even feel some relief. You might even joy. You might feel some relief and freedom. But I need to ask you something. Have you entered into Canaan? Because there is a time that took place from Egypt all the way to the border of Canaan. And what happened in all of that time?
How you see?
What happens with you? Are you filled with joy? Are you happy to have the idea to be delivered from Egypt? And I'm talking about the gospel. Because people, maybe you've heard all your life that you have to work for your salvation. And I believe it. Because your culture makes you work very hard in religion. Young man, your culture is denying you Christ. Do you realize that? I know you like your culture. And you want to follow your culture. But as long as culture is against God's word, it's against God. And you're going, your culture is despising you. Your culture is denying you. People, would you want me to give an example about your culture? In your culture, what happens when a man is not happy with his wife? You just kick her out. And you go for another one. And it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay before God. Because your children have no more father. And they're suffering. And we have thousands of orphan children in these villages. Because your culture says it's okay. But it's not okay. It's against God's word. Oh, but she committed adultery. So I have a right. Bible says If she commits adultery, I can do her.
Gonna put on a go, boss, and see it. One up, one up, one up, one up.
You know how quick you are. But you know what it says?
In his word?
Because of the hardness of their heart.
Yes, I don't know what you want to do with your woman. Because you see, and you can see it.
Because their hearts are hard.
Mamma, I'm thinking of one that's going to be.
Because
you saw one that would be one good and you go and see it. I'm going to give four ways your woman, Tima one, who could look at some matter.
And
then see it. Umangaruma tauru na unti mabwe. Kana ebe.
Know what it says? Do you know what it says? Because your hearts are hard.
Auna ripori inu unti manu ngorimba kwambiri.
Moses let you.
Moses say Moses ada kuzani.
But I say said Jesus.
Kumene ndikuzani kuti Yesu akunamene. Auna ndi Yesu amene.
No.
It
was not like that from the beginning. And I forbid it.
Yes, I mean it.
You see, because culture, our culture is making us to be slaves. And Egypt and Israel came out of Egypt, out of bondage. Moses took them out. And Moses said, we're going to bring you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. But what did we just read? Because of unbelief, they didn't enter in. You know what happened? You see, because they were close to Canaan. And then what? Then they heard that it's impossible to go into a Canaan. And what happened? They had to wait in the wilderness. And many died in unbelief because they didn't believe. You see, people, my dear friends, maybe you hear the gospel. And as I bring you into remembrance of the one and only true gospel,
back,
but I'm afraid for you. If you have a faith that is temporal. Israel, they came out. They sang to God when God took them into the wilderness. And they were happy. They felt free. They were no longer under bondage under Pharaoh. But they were not. They were saved. They were rescued. But they were not brought into rest. There is so many Christians today who talk about Christ, who say some nice things about Christ, who read the Bible, maybe pray, maybe say that they put their trust in God, but it's short. It's too short for rest in Christ. Still working out your salvation. Not having gone into the land of rest. And he says here, he says, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. So you may come out of Egypt, and out of that slavery to sin. Because when they were in Egypt, they were slaves. And they were being whipped to work harder. It's a picture. You understand? The picture. So does Satan whip you to work harder, to sin more, to find another husband. To let a man into your house for some when you go to the borehole, then Satan whips you and says, gossip about that other woman. Talk about other people. How bad they are. You see? That's what Satan does, is whips. And when you walk through the village and you see a woman, and you look at her and you don't say with your mouth, but you say, I need to talk to her. Slaves to sin. Slaves to sin. In mind. In heart, in deeds, and you may even hear the truth, and you may see a way out, you may see the salvation through Jesus Christ, that you may be delivered from this bondage, from being a slave to sin. And you, women, maybe you have so many problems in your life. Maybe you're in pain. Maybe you're hurt. Maybe you have experienced so much pain. And the gospel comes. And it sounds in the ears so rich. So full of freedom. And it is. It frees you from all of the bondages. And it gives you rest. And it gives you peace. And it forgives you from all your sins. And it gives you to look unto Jesus Christ. But I wanted to tell you something. It doesn't just deliver you from bondage. The gospel is not as such that God says, I will just help you for time. But the gospel is as such that he says, I will deliver your soul from eternal perdition. And I will give you eternal rest. So many people today only stop at prosperity gospel. So many people today, and I'm afraid for you that also this is taking place here. I said at the church this morning, if I say, if I yell out, whoever becomes today a Christian for 10,000 kwacha, I will have a lineup from here to the church. Amen. And the problem is, if I come tomorrow and I say, whoever wants to become a Muslim for 10,000 kwacha, the same people will come back, because we have a prosperity gospel. It's called, I will believe what you want to tell me so that I may receive something. And I need to tell you the truth. It's killing you. It's killing your family. It's killing your culture. It's killing your villages. People are coming in and saying, come to the altar and I'll put my hand on you. And if you believe, I'll pray for you and you will be saved. But this is not the salvation of the gospel. For they saw the wonder of the, for Israel saw the wonder behind them. Israel, I don't know with Sabbath now. You know when they went through the Red Sea? And the water opened up. And they went on dry land. And they were on the other side. They were on the other side of the river. And then the Egyptians came in. And the water closed. And they looked. And they said, this is God's hand. Because all of the Egyptians died. Including their horses. And they began to rejoice. And they went towards the promised land. They rejoiced. They sang. They called upon God. But what happened? When they didn't believe. When they rebelled against God
again.
Then snakes came. And began to bite them. Because of unbelief. And people. Unbelief is the greatest sin. You think maybe the Ten Commandments is a great sin. And you try to keep the Ten Commandments, but you omit the weightier aspects of the law. Because unbelief is not believing who God is. Unbelief is not believing what God can do. And unbelief is not believing the promises written in His Word. And that's all because one reason, because of the bondage and slavery that you are in. You see, because as long as things are going good, we will venture to have faith. As long as you don't see a bad serpent in your house, you have faith to go. Although you're cautious. And you go. And you have faith. But the minute that snake comes through the window, and that's how it is with faith. You see, as long as God gives you some sima, and as long as things are going okay today, God is good all the time. But when trouble comes, you'll run away from God. And you don't go to Him. But what do you get? What do you go to? When in trouble. You go and get a stick. And have a stick in your hand. When troubles. You see, because we don't trust God anymore. And we have to take it in our own hands. That's how it happens. That's who we are. And that's what happened in Egypt. When they're in the wilderness. But I have to tell you something, my dear friends. Just like then. You are brought out of Egypt. Because the gospel is being told to you. But are you resting? Are you in the land of Canaan? Or are you still between faith and unbelief? Using it to your advantage when it's for good for you. And casting it away when it's no good for you. It's a problem. It's a problem in our village. It's a problem in our village. Because
You see the fruits of it. How quickly will are men leaving their wives? For a small little problem. And look at the children who are suffering. You see the fruits of it. You don't believe that God is able to make your relationship
perfect.
And everywhere I see, as soon as a woman is alone, she has children, she prays. But at night time, she lets a man in for 1,000 The fruit show it. Where is our faith? Who is putting their trust in God? With their children. And teaching our children.
To also put their trust in
God.
If you will not do this, then the children cannot eat.
But then, that's okay. But don't believe in God. Don't fake it. If you must do that, then reject God. For God is not a soccer ball. You see, because what happens when cyclone comes? Do you go to the man?
Say,
man, help us. No. But what do you do? You say, God, help us. So what do you do?
We are praying to God.
And when you see water coming, or danger coming,
please.
But when everything is okay, and a man knocks on your door, you say, Lord, today you're not my God. I need 1,000
people.
I don't need you now. You see, because God wants to help you. He wants you to put your trust in Him. But let me give you an example. Let's say I was speaking good about my father. And my father sits here. And I say, my father is a very good man. And everything I learned from my father. And you are impressed. You say, wow, very nice man. I tell you everything good about my father. Then I go and I push him over. Would you trust me? He speaks good about him. And now he tortures him. How can we do such things? When we don't put our faith and our trust in Him. And that's what He's talking about here. He's saying Israel came out. They rejoiced when they went through the water. And when Moses hit the rock and water came out. And they drank first water. They said, thank you, Lord. And it was a wonder to them. But as soon as trouble came, they rejected God. Unbelief. They didn't believe Him anymore. And they began to do their own thing. And they began to complain. They began to murmur.
They didn't want to believe him. Is this our lot? Is that is this this village's religion? Or is there some people here today who have put their full trust in him alone? Not only for this time here on earth. Not only for your body, but for your soul. So that you put your full trust in him. That he may get the honor and glory. That even when you don't have something in your home, that you'll go with your children.
And
you go on your knee. And you say, Lord, you have allowed me to put my trust in you. I will not find other means of evil to get money. And you know my children. You see me. My trust is in you. Deliver me. Help me. He will. And if he doesn't, you don't mean it. It's that simple.
But
he will deliver you. I know a lady. She was praying with her children on her knees for some time. Saying, Lord, we're hungry. We don't know what to eat. Deliver us. She believed the Lord. And she heard something at the door. When she opened the door, there was a dog with a basket.
And
in the basket was food. And he dropped it. And he went away. See, God does miracles. He will deliver you. People trust, believe me.
No,
don't believe me. Believe this word. Those who cry out to God. Those who believe in God. In Jesus Christ. Will be delivered. Will be helped. And I know some people say, I try. But he doesn't answer me. You know why he doesn't answer you? Because you're only trying. You can't only try. You must believe by faith. Trying is not going to get you anywhere. He has done it. And in his power, you may believe in everything in him. You may ask him. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Call. And I will answer is the word of the Lord. But today, we hear and we recognize that so many people have Jesus Christ only as a way of using him when you need him. And we have to tell you something. If you continue like this, then when you die, you will have no hope for eternity. For you will have never entered into the rest by faith. You've never trusted him for your soul to take away the curse of your soul. But you only ever saw what he did sometimes good and never believed in his name. And this was what happened with so many of Israel. They even came right to the border. They didn't believe that the Lord was strong enough to bring them into Canaan. They didn't believe that he had the power to bring them into the land of rest. And for 40 years, 40 years, they had to stay in the wilderness. And one died. And another died. All because of unbelief. All because of unbelief. Because they did not believe. But I have to tell you something. If you're there now, if you're on the edge, the border of Canaan,
And you feel you're convicted of that unbelief. And you have to say, this is me. Then we preach you still a gospel. And we preach you a gospel found on a stick. And I raise it up to you. On it is a snake. And if you feel in your life, from every side, you are being bitten by snakes. And every time you are bitten by snakes, by sin. Yeah, maybe if your husband leaves you, it's another bite. When you don't have food, it's another bite. When you're being beaten, it's another bite. And you're being bitten. Not literally. But that's how it feels in your heart. If that's how it feels in your heart, then look to the snake, the serpent. On the risen, that Moses rose. For all who look unto that stake, wherein is a coiled snake, will look to the cross by faith. And my dear friends, today you may look to the cross of Jesus Christ, where he died for your sins. And you may go into the rest. You may believe with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your strength on the cross of Christ today. We preach you this gospel. If you look, even though all your troubles in your life surround you, but you look by faith unto the cross, you may be saved. You may be rescued. Not for this earth, but for your soul. You may be delivered from eternal damnation. Oh friends, I'm coming here to bring you into remembrance of something. I need to remind you of the gospel that we have preached. And we are doing this because we know that false gospels are coming. False gospels are creeping into the churches. And Satan is as strong as ever. Stronger than you believe. To pull you away from the faith of Christ. And make you believe in another gospel, which will destroy you forever. Oh people, be not foolish, but flee to Christ today. Flee to the cross. Your eyes of faith may go unto the cross. And you may be delivered from the wrath to come. Then you don't need a new house. You don't need a new husband. You don't need anything. Because he promised us to take care. And your soul is the only thing that is valuable to you. Because it will eternally go lost. Or eternally be saved. Do you believe that? You could die today. I can die today. Today may be our last day. And it will never matter what you succeeded with here on earth. It won't matter if you have a car. It won't matter if you have a beautiful house. It won't matter if you are a pastor or an evangelist, or a bishop, or a prophet. All those things won't matter to you. There's only one thing that will matter. Is that while you were on earth, did you believe in the only name given under heaven
kumwamba
and upon earth whereby you may be saved. Do you, is Christ your savior?
Kodi Yesu Kristo ndiye mpulumutsi wako?
Is he your hope?
Kodi yeye ndiye chembekezo chako?
Is that where you put your hope?
Kodi pamene wewe umashaya chembekezo chako?
Is that where your expectation is?
Pamene wewe chembekezo chako ndi mathero ako ali?
Do you pray?
Kodi umapemphera?
Do you call upon him?
Kodi umaita dzina lake?
Every day. Not just when a cyclone's coming. Or when trouble's at your door. But do you thank him? Because he's the love of your life? Has he become your husband? Has Jesus Christ become your spiritual husband? Answer this question before God. You don't have to answer me. And this is for the men too. When I say spiritual husband, I don't mean natural. But has he become your father? Is all of your trust in him? Or are you still going around trying to find ways to cheat? To cheat each other. Are you still looking for schemes? Different schemes. How you can put some extra money in your pocket? Is this still your life? Because so many people, they tell me how they're born again. They say, I used to do bad things, but now I'm a good person. Do you know a good person in this village? No. There's only one good person. That's Jesus Christ. And you can have his life. You can be an image of Jesus Christ. But only through faith of people. We need to stop deceiving ourselves. We need to stop lying to each other. Because every time someone more goes to a grave and gets buried. Then I go and I'm there. Then everyone comes. And they say, this man was so good. He took care of his family. Or this woman. She was a mother. A very good mother. She did so many good things. And I see people. And they say, some people are brought to the grave. And there's crying. And this man was so good. Yet, the day before, he was beating his wife. Why are we lying? Why don't we tell the truth to each other? There's only one way to be buried. And if I ever get buried in the ground in Malawi, I never want you to come to my grave and say this man was good. You will lie. Because I am not good. I want you to say this. Glory to God who gave his grace to this sinner. That's what I want you to say. And then I want you to forget about me. I want you to follow Christ. I want you to be an example of him. Tell the truth. Or the truth is going to tell you. Face the truth today. Or the truth will face you tomorrow. Amen.
Amen.